Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning to you all, and a very warm welcome to St. Andrew's. A warm welcome also to anybody watching online this week. So, if you don't know me, my name is Barry. I'm one of the worship leaders. And a little later, Heather's going to be coming to preach on a wonderful subject in our series of I Am. And this morning, we're looking at I Am the Way, the Truth, and the Life. So, that's really wonderful. Before we get stuck into our worship properly, Dave's going to come and just give some notices.
Just wanted to add my words of welcome to Barry. I'm Dave, the rector, if you don't know me. And a few things coming up just I wanted to particularly share with you. Tonight at the 6 evening service, we have lots going on. We have hot dogs from 5 o'clock. So come for hot dogs and a bit of a 6 social before the service at 6. And also Chaos, our older youth group, are going to be leading us tonight in our service. They're going to be running it completely. So pray for them and come and support them tonight there at 6. Thinking a couple of weeks ahead, our mission partners, Terry and Hanke English, who are working in the Czech Republic for Josiah Ventures and been doing a lot with Ukrainian refugees that we've been in touch with them about over the last year or so. They are coming to visit on the weekend of the 29th and 30th of October. And Terry's going to come and speak at a men's breakfast, which we're going to move the week earlier. So rather than the first week in November, we're going to move it to the last week in October. So he can come and speak on Saturday the 29th at Wetherspoons. Do come if you are a man. And then on the Sunday, Terry's going to be speaking at our service and they're going to be sharing a little bit. And there's also going to be a shared lunch after the service where you need to bring either a main course, a pudding, and a salad, and we pray that enough food and the right sort of mix is brought. We haven't had a shared lunch here for about 3 years. So that's a great opportunity, and they're going to share a little bit more at that. So please put those dates in your diary. On that evening as well, on the 30th, there's going to be no evening service, no 6 service, because we're going to go on tour. And we're going to go to Worcester for the night, where there's a new wine celebration at All Saints Worcester, a regional celebration which they're trying to do once a term now. If you want to go directly there, you can do. If not, meet at St. Andrew's at 5 and we can share lifts. But that's on Sunday the 30th. That'll be a gathering from people all over Worcester, Malvern and the surrounding area, and it'll be a really good evening. So if you don't come to the 6 normally, want to come along to that, then do. And if you aren't on our mailing list, then if you click the Connect With Us button on our website, that will connect you up to us and you can get the weekly mailing emailed to you where there's a whole more news of other things going on too. But I'll hand over. No, I won't hand over to Barry because I've got to do the banns of marriage. So it's lovely to have Jacob and Danielle here again. Give us a wave, you two. They are getting married in just a few weeks' time. So I published the banns of marriage between Jacob Alexander Hopton Jones of All Saints Worcester and Danielle Roxanne Jones of this parish. This is for the third time of asking. If anyone knows any reason why they may not be married, you are to declare it. You're all clear, guys. The certificate I've just given you is valid. Let's pray for them. Lord, the source of all true love, we pray for Jacob and Danielle as they prepare for their wedding. Grant to them joy of heart, seriousness of mind, and reverence of spirit, that as they enter into the oneness of marriage, they may be strengthened and guided by you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thanks, Dave. I am the way, the truth, and the life. What wonderful words, and don't we need them so much at the moment in this troubled world. So we pray to you this morning, Father God, thanking you for sending Jesus to show us the way. Thanking you for sending Jesus to show us in this mixed up world the truth. And for sending Jesus to give us life in all its fullness here and now. And so we praise you, Lord God, and dedicate our time with you this morning to worshipping you. Amen. What are we doing? Yes, I know. I've got a friend to come and visit you. A little friend we haven't seen around for a while. Oh, this is Trevor. Trevor's come to say hello. Oh, hello. Well, now you adults are going to have to be well behaved because I'm going to sit down and talk to the children, so just for a few minutes. That's the microphone. Right. Okay, guys. Now, Trevor, oh, hang on. He says he's not been around for a while. Do you know where he's been? Sitting in the cupboard. Has he read the script? I don't know. He says, didn't know there was a pandemic, and it's much safer in the cupboard. Anyway, Trevor and I and Debbie thought we'd go on holiday to celebrate. So, I was driving. Debbie can't read the map very well. So, Trevor was going to show us the way. And we were going to go, watch the big screen, right up there to Scotland. But do you know where we ended up? Trevor's getting embarrassed now. Do you know where we ended up? No. Oh my goodness. Down there. Well, it's a bit like Cornwall, but it's actually near a place called Cheddar. Trevor's very excited now. What's at Cheddar? Cheese. Oh my goodness. Oh, Trevor. He loves cheese. Anyway, I don't think he was lost at all, you know. I think he was just going there because he likes cheese. So, enough of my holiday. What about you guys? Have any of you been on holiday this year? Has your mums or dads or carers taken you anywhere?
France.
France! Trevor, do you know where France is? No. Anybody go anywhere else exciting? Where did you go? You went to Cornwall. Trevor, do you know where Cornwall is? Do you know the way? He's not very good, is he? Anybody else? Where did you go? Did anybody go to the seaside? You go next week? You go away a lot, don't you? My goodness. Do you know, where are you going? Bude. Do you know where way to Bude, Trevor? No, he doesn't. Oh, my goodness. He's not very good, isn't he? How do your mums and dads and carers find their way to places like France or Cornwall? Yes. Sat-navs. Yeah. Yeah. And?
Maps.
Well done. And not a compass like I've shown there. Well, Trevor's got a question. What do you want, Trevor? Is there a map to show us the way to live? Wow, what do you think? Is there a map to show us the way to live? What is it then? Jesus shows us a map of the way to live. Very good, you read the script as well. Brilliant, brilliant. And there's also the Bible, because that shows us the way to Jesus, doesn't it?
Church,
well done. You're reading the script off there. And Trevor's got an idea. What's your idea, Trevor? That's his The World Cheese Book. I don't think so. I don't think we need to know about 750 cheeses, do we? No, we don't. But you're quite right. All these things lead us to Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. How does Jesus do that, Trevor wants to know? How does he get into our lives? Tell us the way, the truth, and the life. Yes. God made us to be like that. You know, you're so good this morning. You did. And all we have to do is say to Jesus, we have to put our hands together like that and bow our heads in prayer and we go, dear Jesus, please come into our lives and be with us every day and show us the way and the truth and the life. And he knows the way to go, don't you? Well done. Well, thank you ever so much for listening to Trevor. He was very attentive this morning. He's great, isn't he? Brilliant. And Trevor says he wants to go to Scotland again this year, as long as he can stop on Wensleydale on the way. Right. So you young people are going to go out to your groups now. So we're going to pray God's blessing on you and on your leaders. So, Father God, we just thank you for our young people in this church. We pray your
may they know more and learn more about you day by day, we pray. Amen. Thank you.
For those who don't know me, I'm Chris Mesley, and I run the CAP Debt Centre that we have in Malvern. And it's been my privilege over the last 4 years to serve alongside a variety of folk with our those who need debt counselling in our community. I'm wondering if Roger and Colin would like to join me. One of the key things that we've learnt along the way is that many of the people that we serve have needs far greater than just financial help. And it's been a great privilege working with Colin, who stepped forward to help with what we call the blessings team. And what he's done over the last 3 years is to set up a group of folk who will respond to those extra needs. So whether that's a bit of gardening or trying to locate a bit of furniture that somebody might need, or other practical things. So it's been a real extra blessing that we've been able to provide. And we're so grateful to Colin for doing that. You've probably heard some of his stories where his socks get blown off, and because of seeing God's blessing at work. And so I'd like to thank Colin for all his hard work, and there's some extra socks in there. So, and Colin, with the things that you're going to go on to now, we just pray that you'll have plenty of use for your extra socks. So. But I'm very grateful that Roger has stepped forward and has started to do this coordination role. And it is so important bringing together people from lots of churches around the town and in Ledbury as well as in Malvern to be that blessing. And it comes in all sorts of different shapes and sizes. Colin hasn't known where the next request is going to come from or the offer of something. And so you're already busy, Roger, aren't you, with stuff? So, yeah. So we wanted to take this opportunity to actually commission Roger in this role. It's so important. And so together, would you join me in doing this? Roger's particularly asked me to pray 3 things, but we're also going to bless him in this role too. So I'll start with saying the prayers you asked me to say, Roger. But so together, we pray that everything you do, Roger, will be to the glory of God. That God would give you the time and the resources that you need. And I'm going to add to that the people around you to support you in doing this. And that all the gifts that you are able with your team to bestow on our clients, Lord, that you would be able to see transformation in their lives. It's not just about giving individual things, but actually it's a way of helping to transform people's lives. So we bless you, Roger, in the name of Jesus, to go and serve him in this new way. And I'm reminded of what happened in Acts 6 when the apostles recognized that they couldn't do everything themselves, and they appointed extra deacons to serve. And so, Roger, full of the Holy Spirit, we pray that you would go and do this job, this work, and serve our community in fresh ways. Amen.
Thank you.
And if you'd like to know more about what the Blessings Team does, please do talk to either Roger or Colin. And Roger would definitely like your support. You could be on his mailing list of things to help with. And also, if you'd like to be more involved in praying for the work of CAP, we've got a prayer meeting at the Baptist Church in Malvern on Wednesday evening at 7:30. And you'd be very welcome to join us. Thank you.
So as we go into our first song, it's about Waymaker. Jesus is the Waymaker. So as we sing these songs, let's just renew our devotion to our Lord Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Give us trust. Give us hope. Give us love. Thank you.
Jesus, as Debbie's already prayed, we want to speak your name over every heart and every mind, breaking addictions, bringing hope and healing. We do. We want that, Father God. But whilst we know that we can look to you as our guide, our way for life, our test for truth, and our route to life in all its fullness, we know that we fall short in all of these areas, and we're sorry. Really, Lord God, we are sorry for our weaknesses and our sometimes shadowy faith, relying so often on our own strength. And so we claim now, Father God, that forgiveness which you promise and freely and generously offer to each one of us. And pray that in a world that is so devoid of direction, that you, Jesus, will be our guide. And in a world where truth is so often twisted or manipulated, we pray that your truth, Lord Jesus, may burn like a fire in each one of us and become the foundation for our lives from this moment onwards. So, Father, we ask for life in all its fullness for all who seek your direction and your truth. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. In a moment, Peter's going to come and bring us our reading. And after that, Heather's going to come and speak to us. And then Jane will lead us in our time of prayer. And I want it all to flow together. So, Father God, I just pray that you'll open our hearts to hear your word this morning. I pray your blessing on Heather, Lord God, that she will open our hearts and our minds to what you have to say for us today, Father God, that we might really sense you, Jesus, in our lives today. And then as Jane brings our prayers, Lord God, we just pray that our hearts would be open to see the world through your eyes. Amen. And just to say that after Heather's preached, there will be a time to respond. We're going to hear a piece of music from Henry Purcell. And I do invite you all to take advantage of that time of prayer to just receive what God has for you this morning. Amen. Thanks, Peter.
The reading this morning is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 14, the first 10 verses. So that's on page 1082 of the Church Pew Bibles. So John chapter 14, beginning to read at verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do not know him, and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning. Let's pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, I feel this is such an awesome responsibility to seek to open up your word this morning. And I just pray that anything I've prepared which is not appropriate may just be blotted out, that people will hear what you want to say to them, not what I'm saying. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. After which, I'm going to change gear. Do you remember Dave Allen? Outrageous, very funny Irish comedian. He once said, I suppose Ireland is the best place in the world for directions. If you ask the way, people will say, if it was me, I wouldn't be starting from here. Well, I wonder where you're starting from as we come to today's amazing and challenging I am saying of Jesus. Are you already on the way, or standing at a crossroads, or feeling lost, or detached, skeptical? The world is full of lost and confused people. Isn't that so true now? Isn't the whole situation in our country lost, confused, perplexed? And at that point, I'll just pause and say, we really need to pray for Christians in positions of authority, for Christian members of parliament and in other significant positions, and not just in our country, but throughout the world, but particularly at this time in our country, that by the Holy Spirit they may speak words of discernment and wisdom and guidance into these troubled situations, and to bring that sense that it isn't people who are the enemies, that we may not like what they do, but we still need to pray for them because Jesus died for them all. So, as I said, the world is full of lost, confused and perplexed people. So wouldn't you think that when they hear the words of Jesus, I am the way, the truth and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me, wouldn't you think they must surely embrace him as the greatest way to follow, the uniquely wonderful embodiment of truth, and the one who promises a new life which becomes even more wonderful when our bodies die? Mustn't they? Many people hear this passage for the first time at a loved one's funeral. In fact, John 14, 1-7 was the Bible reading at the funeral I attended just last Wednesday. And it was introduced with the words, "Jesus comforts his disciples." People choose this reading because the opening verses offer comfort and consolation for those who are mourning, giving them hope that their loved one is now in one of those heavenly dwellings. But in fact, the destination of the loved one who has died has already been decided. And so the promise or challenge of verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, the life, no one comes to the Father except by me," is directed at the mourners. And sadly, though many of them will be feeling sad, lost, confused, disorientated, and facing a new and lonely stage in life, they may not want to start their onward journey from here. Today, to many, in the culture that we live in, this unique way to God sounds altogether too prescriptive and narrow. Even Jesus himself said it was a narrow way. In his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Tom Wright, in his commentary on John 14, says, "Within the Western world of the last two centuries or so, this saying of Jesus has become one of the most controversial. I am the way, the truth, and the life. How dare he?" people have asked. Isn't this the height of arrogance, to imagine that Jesus or anyone else was the only way? How dare John or the church or anyone else put such words into anyone's mouth? Don't we now know that this attitude has done untold damage around the world, as Jesus' followers have insisted that everyone else should give up their own ways of life and follow his instead? Well, Tom Wright goes on to point out that it's not the message, but the messengers who do the damage when they fail to present these words of Jesus in their context. The Jesus who says he's not only the way to God, but is one with God, is the one who has just washed his disciples' feet and is shortly to submit himself to die on the cross. He embodies self-giving love, not arrogant self-assertion. In our reading, Jesus tells Philip that he's already seen God the Father, because the Father's nature is perfectly revealed in him, God the Son. And the Father's nature, which he is living out in this world, is the nature of wonderful, redeeming, self-giving humility and love. So is Jesus the only way? The disciples, who sounded so confused when Jesus made this statement at the Last Supper, became convinced of the truth of his claim after he died and risen again. They saw that God had vindicated everything their beloved teacher and friend had said and done when he raised Jesus from the dead. So Peter and John, on trial before the Jewish authorities not long after Pentecost, boldly affirmed, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind whereby we must be saved." And Paul, who'd persecuted the first Christian believers until his encounter with Jesus on the Damascus Road, wrote to Timothy, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people." So here's the question. Do you believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? And how does this translate into your experience? What does it mean for you? For some people, it has meant a journey of months or years in which you've been increasingly drawn to trust and follow Jesus. For others, it meant a specific moment of truth and decision. If you've already accepted Jesus as the way and are travelling with him, are you discovering more and more of the truth which Jesus embodies? Have the I am sayings of his, which we've been considering in recent weeks, made Jesus more real to you? He says he's the bread of life. So are you drawing more spiritual sustenance from the truths in his word, the Bible, and through fellowship, prayer and worship? Have you rested in the security of his loving care as the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep? And last week, were you thrilled by the story of the raising of Lazarus and Jesus' words, "I am the resurrection and the life"? If we can say yes to these questions, and if this is the reality and inner core of what we believe, we have a responsibility to pass the message on to others. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "God reconciled us to himself through Christ, and he has given us the ministry of reconciliation." We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. In other words, come to him and find new life in him as the way, the truth, and the life. And if there's anyone here who hasn't yet done this, and you can hear Jesus inviting you now, please take the opportunity to respond and pray with someone before you leave today. But there's a huge question which I'm sure is in some of your minds and which I cannot ignore. In fact, it's what you might call the elephant in the room. What about all those people who haven't heard and had a chance to respond to the gospel message of salvation through Jesus? Are they lost? Isn't God just and fair? As Paul says in Romans 10, how can people believe in someone they haven't heard of? The uniqueness of Jesus' claim that he is one with God the Father rules out that vague, comfortable mantra that all religions lead to God. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the only one who can bridge the gap between God and man. And yet the Bible also says God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that no one should perish, but all should have eternal life. In every age, countless people of different cultures and faiths have devoutly reached out to a divine being, seeking the truth, trying to live upright lives. Some even talking with God and claiming to hear his voice. What happens or has happened to them? I firmly believe we must trust in the wideness of God's mercy. And the fact, as Peter says in his second letter, that God doesn't want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to eternal life. I'm sure Jesus as the way finds a way to meet those people who are seeking him without knowing it. I myself have heard missionaries tell how when they reached a remote tribe with its own totally different religious practices and told the people about Jesus, the response was, "Why didn't you come sooner? This is what we've been looking for all our lives." You know, it's an amazing fact that throughout the Muslim world, men and women without knowledge of the gospel or contact with Christians are experiencing dreams and visions of Jesus Christ, in which he's stretching out his arms to them and calling them to seek the truth. There are a lot of stories about this if you look online, but I want to introduce you to a couple of men I met in 2016 when I visited the Bible Society in Vienna, Austria. I went with a group of others from Bible Society UK to learn about their work with refugees. This is Amir. He had a terrible accident and a near-death experience in Iran, in which Jesus appeared, calling him. Somehow, when he recovered, he knew he had to get to Europe to find out who this compelling figure in his vision was. And here you can see him telling us about this experience and how God has called him and how he is now serving him by distributing Farsi Bibles to Farsi speakers in Austria. We also visited the Oasis Centre, which offers a welcome to asylum seekers who are crammed into a former army barracks nearby awaiting processing. At the Oasis Centre, the staff meet both the physical and the spiritual needs of the refugees, and many find new life and hope. They've got the Jesus film in many different languages, and they show it regularly. Sometimes it's running in different rooms in different languages at the same time. And this is one of the ways that they introduce people to Jesus. And this man, whose name I'm afraid I've forgotten, was one that we met there. And he too had been drawn to seek Jesus in dreams before he knew who he was. It's hard for us to grasp just how dangerous and costly it is for a Muslim to accept Jesus. A few years ago, I read a moving book called Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus, in which Nabil Qureshi, from a loving and devout Muslim family, where his mother and grandparents had actually been missionaries in Pakistan, he tells how, through long and earnest seeking after truth, he became convinced that the way to God is through Jesus. He had a Christian friend who talked to him about Jesus, and they had many debates, and he had three vivid dreams, but he still resisted for a long time because of the cost. He loved his parents so much, the thought of what accepting Jesus would do to them, let alone what it would cost him, caused him much anguish. He kept praying, God, please, I don't want to decide yet. Give me time to mourn what I'm leaving behind. And he took down his Quran and he thumbed through it, looking for words of comfort, but he couldn't find any. So then he picked up his Bible and opened it at the New Testament, started reading in Matthew's Gospel, and within a few pages, he'd reached Jesus' words, Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. He says, the words were like a current sent through my dead heart. This was what I was looking for. My heart was filled with a new joy, the joy of meeting God himself. I thought I'd known him my entire life, but now that I know who he really is, there's just no comparison. Now, I have this book here, and I'd be very happy to lend it to anybody who'd like to borrow it. It is a remarkable story. This verse from the Old Testament book of Proverbs, I love everyone who loves me, and I will be found by all who honestly search, describes what happened to Nabil, and it's equally true for everyone here today. I repeat my appeal to anyone who hasn't yet responded to Jesus' invitation. If you can hear him speaking to you now, please take this opportunity to start the journey with him, because it's the path that leads to life. There will be chances to pray with someone very shortly. And let's all keep praying for our friends and our loved ones who don't believe in God or have never accepted Jesus as their saviour or have stopped believing. that they will hunger for that truth which is bringing so many throughout the world to discover and put their faith in Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. There's a chance now just to be quiet as the music plays, and for each of us to respond to whatever the Lord has been saying to us as individuals. And prayer team, if you could be available, please. There will be people at the front and back of church who would love to pray with you during this time of reflection, if you so desire, or at the end of the service. God bless you.
Let's pray. We pray to Jesus, the way. Lord, we pray for direction for ourselves, but particularly at the moment, we pray for direction in our nation, where there is confusion, there is muddle, and there is uncertainty about the future. We pray for those who govern, both locally and nationally. We pray for those who lead our churches and our schools, our businesses. Lord, we pray for CAP and thank you that it shows a way forward for people struggling with debt. In a moment of silence, let's just pray for one or two individuals known to us who don't yet know Jesus as the way. We pray to Jesus, the truth. And pray particularly this morning for Ukraine, that the truth of what has been happening will be made clear to other nations who don't believe what we can see with our eyes. We pray for nations where propaganda is given as truth and where Christians have to keep their faith hidden. We pray for broadcasting organisations that truth will permeate the airways into nations such as Russia and China, but across the world. And in a moment of silence, let's pray individually for a nation on your heart which is not open to hearing the gospel of Jesus. We pray to Jesus, the life. Pray for our mission partners. Lord, help us to remember our mission partners in prayer faithfully. We think of John and Elise Fletcher and their children, currently split between Thailand and Shrewsbury, and the UNO mission based in the slums of Bangkok. We pray for renewal of the visas for the family to continue their work. We pray for Terry and Hannah English, working with Josiah Ventures in Czechia, and particularly pray for their work with Ukrainian refugees, giving them hope and employment. We pray for Ben and Katie Ray, working with CMS and Neymar Crafts in Tanzania, and the work they do with disabled people in their creative activities. Lord, bless them. We pray for Mike Bassous, working with the Bible Society in Lebanon, and we pray particularly for the distribution of Bibles to both Christians who long for them and Muslims who really need them. And we pray for Nick Russell, working as a Church Army evangelist in Greenwich. And in a moment of silence, let's pray for one or two individuals who need God's life-giving touch at the moment. And we pray for healing, and I just want to mention two people, but there may be many others. I'm thinking of Karen and Olivia. And finally, we pray for ourselves. I'm not going to pray in my words. I'm going to pray in the words of a couple of verses from George Herbert. Come, my way, my truth, my life. Such a way as gives us breath. Such a truth as ends all strife. Such a life as killeth death. Come, my joy, my love, my heart, such a joy as none can move, such a love as none can part, such a heart as joys in love. And may we join together in the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
So we're going to sing our final song, which continues the prayers, really, that we've been praying during this morning. Jesus, be the centre, be my source, be my light, Jesus.
Jesus. Lord Jesus, you have said you are the way, the truth, and the life. So this week, may the power of your Holy Spirit lead us to live your way. May the power of your Holy Spirit lead us to know truth. And may the power of your Holy Spirit bring us to life in all its fullness. Amen. Please, if you've been moved by anything that you've heard today from Heather or in the rest of the service, please come and receive prayer. Helen's at the front here. She's got a wonderful gift and she so enjoys praying for people. So please do avail yourself of that. For those who need to go, please come to the hall where there's coffee and biscuits. And if you're there quick, you get the chocolate ones. Have a great week.